Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana li hadha wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu amma ba'd fa ya ibadallah ittaqullah rahimakumullah. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد نعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن هذا الدين يسر ولا يشاد الدين أحدا إلا حلبه. Sadaqallah, sadaqallahu maulana azim, wa sadaqa rasuluhu aliyul kareem. As always, we give all thanks and all praise only to Almighty Allah, who has guided us to Islam, guided us to Iman. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide all of us to the higher levels of consciousness called Ihsan. أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. It is to be so conscious of Allah Almighty in everything we do, everything we say, even everything we think, as if we are in the presence of Allah. Even if we cannot see Allah, let us all be very, very sure Allah sees all. And on the day of resurrection, we'll be held accountable only to Almighty Allah. We ask Almighty Allah to invoke His peace and His blessings upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah Almighty be upon him. I would like to address you today on a khutbah. I'm sure you must have heard many angles about this unity in Islam, and I would perhaps look at it from a little bit of a different perspective today, inshallah. If you look at unity and brotherhood locally and globally, it should have been a foregone conclusion, but unity still very elusive as far as Muslims are concerned, and this community of Islam, this community of Tawheed, is still the most disunited community in the world. If you look at Islam, you find it is based on the absolute unicity and absolute indivisibility of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawheed, the principle of Tawheed. And not only that, we also have the traditions of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then we have the Quran, the veritable word of Allah, the only word of Allah never been untouched by human hand, untouched by human hand. And today we have the Quran in its pure and pristine form. And we also believe in all the prophets from Adam, Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, culminating in the coming of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And the message came from the same God, therefore it is in essence the same message: to obey Almighty Allah, Almighty God, in every sphere of activity, and to forbid all evil. This is in essence the message of Islam. With that also comes surrender, submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with peace. And that is what a Muslim is, a person of peace. There are many reasons why we have this fragmentation and disunity among Muslims. And today, inshallah, I will look at a few of them. I only have time for a few of them. Inshallah, I will look at a few of them and give some nasiha, inshallah. First, I would look at the institutionalization of Islam. What I mean by that is, and we know, Islam is taught at different institutions in many different countries around the world. And we find at these various institutions, certain dogmas, rituals, and concepts are given predominance over others, which result in a kind of institutionalized Islam that I speak about. And what I'm also saying is we have scholars coming from different institutes around the world, and they preach a different brand of Islam, if you like. They preach a different brand of Islam, and I don't have to mention many names here. You know, we have in our community back home the great fight or great divide between Shia and Sunni, Barovi and Diobandi, and Salafi, Wahhabi, and all the others, and I can mention many more. We have this, and we keep on dividing on these issues. And the Muslims themselves, after having been institutionalized, have made much of Islam redundant. They separate some fundamentals of Islam from the mainstream of Islam. Let's say the some aspects of politics, economics, or morality, is not part of Islam. And these Muslims, in opposition to other Muslims, have scored certain points for themselves, and they continue to divide on these issues. And the Ummah, the people who follow them, have been divided, and they rejoice in the party or sect to which they belong, as if they have the keys to paradise. And this, Almighty Allah has condemned very, very severely in the Holy Quran. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَا تَكُولُ كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاحْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَذَابُ الْعَظِيمُ. Do not be of those, this is an instruction directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all of us, do not be of those who are divided in your way of life called Islam. After I, Allah, have given you clear guidance, if you are divided, having sects and parties, Allah says here, for you await a severe chastisement here and in the hereafter. This is what the verse says. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the division of the ummah, this little parties and sects that we have, is also tantamount to shirk, to polytheism. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. Do not be like the mushrik, like the idol worshippers in the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They divide the deen into many sects and parties, and they rejoice to the sect and party to which they belong. If you are those, Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. For you awake a severe chastisement here and in the hereafter. And from this has evolved a sort of attitude problem that we have among ourselves, a self-righteous attitude, if you like. We have taken certain principles of Islam, interpreted in certain ways, and then we ascribe righteousness and piety to ourselves. I'm sure there's a word that we throw around at home many times, even in our radios, our community radios, and the word is taqwa. We ascribe this taqwa to ourselves. Listen to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَعْلَمُوا بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Do not ascribe self-righteousness to yourself. Only I, Allah, I know those of you who have taqwa, those of you who are righteous. Allah looks beyond our peripheral outside. He looks into our heart, into our spiritual hard drives, if you like. Almighty Allah knows those of us. Let's look at that word taqwa also from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He was asked by the Sahaba ikram, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, where is taqwa? Aina taqwa? And he slapped his chest and said, At-taqwa hahuna. Taqwa is here. It is in your spiritual hard drive. Allah looks beyond your peripheral things, and Allah knows those of us who have taqwa, who are righteous. If we look at piety, we have to look at the lifestyle of our Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, a man of whom our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَوْ كَانُ بَعْدُ النَّبِيُّ لَكَانَ Umar. If ever there have to be a prophet after me, didn't say there will be a prophet, because we believe and we accept that our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the final prophet. He said, if ever there have to be a prophet after me, most certainly it will be Umar. Prophet said this in Sahih, authenticated hadith. Also, Sayyidina Umar was one of the Ashara Mubashara, one of 10 people who were given glad tidings by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam himself that they will go to paradise without questioning. Sayyidina Umar was one of these people. Sayyidina Umar, when he differed with his Sahaba Ikram on 3 occasions regarding the captives of Badr, Almighty Allah himself revealed 3 verses out of the Holy, in the Holy Quran in the favor of Sayyidina Umar. Look at the quality of this person. Look at the quality of this. What did Sayyidina Umar say? He said, if all the people have to go to paradise after resurrection, except one person, I fear I will be that one person because I do not have enough taqwa. I am not God conscious enough. فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَعْلَمُوا بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Do not ascribe piety to yourselves. Only Allah knows those of us who are pious. You'll also find the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he went on his night journey, his miraj, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said on his way back, Al-Ardu kulluhu masjid. The whole world is a mosque. You can pray wherever you find yourself. You can pray. Make sujood to Allah. The word masjid comes from the word sujood, to make sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Says, the whole world is a mosque, but it seems to me that we have taken our concepts from the mosque out there, brought it into our various masajids, and in our masajids we are divided. In our masajids, back home we have lots of problems in our mosques, lots of trouble in our mosques, and there we call each other names, call each other kafir, mushriks, all the different names. And the Prophet ﷺ stated in connection with this, Uridullahu bikum al-yusra wa la yuridu bikum al-usr. This way of life called Islam is very, very simple, he says. Most certainly Allah wants ease for you. And Allah wants us, if we can't find an easier way to do things, the Prophet ﷺ said, do the easy way, find the simplest way to do things. The Prophet ﷺ also stated, "Inna hadha ad-deena yusr, wa la yushadu ad-deena ahadan illa ghalaba." Most certainly this deen, this way of life called Islam is very, very simple. But if you try to contend with it and be severe in it, and there are lots of people who are very severe in this way of life. He said, this deen itself will overcome you. This way of life, Islam, will overcome you if you are severe in it. Do not give fatwas of Jahannam on everybody. Do not make everybody kafir. You know, if you don't like a person, we brush him. Back home, we used to brush people with the Ahmadiyya label. Of late, we brush people with Shia labels. Do not brush everybody with a label, the Prophet ﷺ says. And Allah gives us the modus operandi in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنَى. When you speak to people, speak beautifully to people. وَكُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Also speak with informed knowledge about Islam. Do not speak off the cuff. Speak with informed knowledge. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ. And interact with other people from other faith traditions, beautifully and with wisdom. With informed knowledge, beautiful speech and wisdom. And be the best Muslim you can be. The da'i must be right. We, as the one who's going to invite other people to Islam, we must be right. Fourthly, ego. Islam means to submit the ego. Submit or to surrender our will to the divine will of Almighty Allah with peace. Muslims ought to be people of peace. But of course, in this submission to Allah, there are various stages. For those of us who study Islam on a higher level, we find this tazkiyatun nafs, tazkiyatul qalb, tahniyatul sidq, various levels of attaining this spirituality, if you like. It is the subjugation of the lower biological animal self. Imam Ghazali, in his Ihya Ulumuddin, speaks about absolute annihilation of the self. He speaks about fana and baqa, getting union with Allah, reaching high levels of spirituality. Arrogance and egotism is the antithesis of Islam. We find also in the rituals of Hajj, where we go and pelt the symbols of shaitan. The inner dimensions of Hajj tells us that when we pelt, we need to say Bismillahi Allahu Akbar. Bismillah, I'll begin in the name of Almighty Allah, and Allah indeed is the greatest. What we are not saying, but what we are implying is that shaitan can never ever be the greatest. And the rituals of Hajj also tells us to turn our back towards the symbol of shaitan, turn to our center, Kaaba, raise our hands in prayer and ask Almighty Allah to eradicate from the lower biological animal mammal self all the manifestations of shaitan, greed, arrogance, bigotism, egotism, and ask Almighty Allah to make us compassionate, kind, loving people, sincere people, people who would serve Allah through love, by being loving, kind people. As Muslims, we are reasonably well aware of our history, but how much have we learned from it? The Quran reminds us how our beloved Prophet Muhammad ﷺ united the Arabs of Arabia, whom the Romans and Persians considered as wild, warlike and backward. They were unworthy of conquest. He molded them into a nation of supermen, where the Muslims served Allah and subdued their arrogance and vanity. They became masters of the world. They swept over North Africa, across Spain, southern France, and eastward towards China. But when they started arguing among themselves over peripheral issues and started indulging their vanity and forgetting Allah, they lost everything. Kicked out of Spain, as we know, if we go back into history. The same thing is happening again today. Vanity, arrogance, greed. We need to serve Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sincere reasons. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as Allah commands in the Holy Quran. وَعَتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Reach out for this rope that Allah stretch out to us and be united among ourselves. Fifthly, leaders and leadership. Sometimes, following corrupt and egotistical leaders, we find that we are divided even further. We do not follow leaders on the basis of the Quran and Sunnah, but on their personal opinions and how well they speak, or how well they present their papers sometimes. When Almighty Allah tells us in the Quran, أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم فإن تنازعتم في شيء فردوه إلى الله ورسوله. The word ita'a, أطيعوا الله, comes from the root ita'a, meaning to show absolute obedience and allegiance. Allah says here, first to Allah, the Quran, and then the Sunnah, and to those who've been put in charge of you. And if you differ about anything, Allah gives us the methodology. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, return it back to Allah, go back to the Quran and to the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Consultation as scholars, leaders in the community. And speaking about leadership and scholars in Islam, there's no priesthood. I would like to say that twice. There's no priesthood in Islam. There's no hierarchy of priests. We don't have bishops and archbishops and different hierarchies of, in Islam. Every male is the imam in his house. Now, imam simply means a leader. He needs to lead his family. Therefore, it presupposes that he's informed on how to lead. You cannot lead without knowledge. Without knowledge, you have to go and acquire that knowledge. And when it comes to scholars and leaders, we need to accept the differences among ourselves. The variety of interpretations of religious issues is a sign of wealth of ideas of a vibrant ummah. That those of us who are leaders, remember that Allah alone knows His deen. Our understanding as scholars, ulama is a word that we like using. Once we have some degrees in Islamic studies, we call ourselves ulama. Our understanding as scholars is not absolute, cannot be final. That's why a good scholar will always say at the end of his discourse, he will say, Allahu alam, Allah knows best. The final word is with Allah. New leaders and scholars will always arise. Allah gives guidance to whomsoever He pleases. Do not let our loyalty to personalities blur our vision or prevent us from listening to the insights of other members of the Ummah. Let us take these examples of our beloved Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the great Sahaba Ikram, the companions of the Prophet, who went out of their way to shake the hands of even their enemies with absolute sincerity and love. They were tolerant and imbibed with kindness. They visited each other, extended a hand of friendship and help. Let's listen to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam when he said, لا تباغدوا ولا تحاسدوا ولا تدابروا وكونوا عباد الله إخواني. Do not hate one another. Do not be jealous of one another. Do not cut off ties with one another. But be servants of Allah. Be loving towards each other. Extend the hand of friendship to one another. Let's love one another. Show mercy and compassion to one another. I would like to quote a translation of part of a very lengthy hadith out of Bayhaqi, where the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, there will come a time when the mosques will be packed to capacity, but no guidance will come from it. The Quran will only be a book that will be read casually, sometimes at janazas, sometimes at other functions. The ulama, the scholars, the teachers will be the worst of creatures walking under the sun. From them will come the fitna, and to them it will return. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us that this must not happen in our time. I wish to conclude by saying, let us extend that hand of friendship and love to one another. Let us ask Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us strengthen our family ties, to uplift our communities, and to unite the ummah. Innama al-mu'minuna ikhwa. We are one. Oh Allah, please strengthen our resolve, our iman. Give us courage and patience to endure hardship and overcome all evil. Oh Allah, help us to build strong foundation for Islam in Britain and around the world. And may we, as your ambassadors of Islam, Allah, become excellent role models for our children and for those who have not yet received the message of Islam. Barakallahu lana wa lakum fi al-Qur'an al-Azim wa nafa'ana bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim. Innahu ta'ala jawadu kareemun malikul barru raufu rahim. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله أستغفر الله أستغفر الله الذي لي ولكم ولوالدي ولوالديكم ولسائر المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ما يهدي الله فلا مضل له وما يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فيا عباد الله اتقوا الله رحمكم الله وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم خصوصا على أفضل البشر بعد الأنبياء بتحقيق أمير المؤمنين أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى ناطق بالصدق والصواب أمير المؤمنين عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى كامل الحياء والإيمان أمير المؤمنين عثمان بن عفان رضي الله تعالى عنه وعلى أسد الله الغالب أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب كرم الله وجهه وسائر الصحابة والتابعين رضوان الله عليهم أجمعين كم نرى سبري ربنا اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واعف عنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة Oh Allah, we ask your forgiveness for all the wrong things we do every day, all the wrong things we say every day. Oh Allah, we ask for your mercy and your compassion here and on the day of resurrection when you resurrect us. Be most merciful and compassionate to all of us. Oh Allah, you Almani, our Mawla, our Protector. We beg for your protection from all the calamities, all the catastrophes that we see around us. Oh Allah, you are the only one that can protect us. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين والله we ask you to grant all of us without exception the good and the goodness of this life, the good and the goodness of the year after. On the day of resurrection, Allah, exempt all of us from the fire of hell on that day, and let us all enter paradise, Jannah, with the righteous people. Rabbana hablana min aswajina wa dhurriyatina qurratan a'yun waj'alna lilmuttaqina imama. Allah, grant us spouses, husbands and wives, children, offspring, that will be the comfort and coolness of our eyes, meaning Allah, let us always be very, very proud of them here and on the day of resurrection. Let us never ever feel disgraced by them in any way, and grant us the grace to lead them all into righteousness. Ibad Allah, rahimakumullah. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأتم وأهم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة